The sermon title today is Push, Part 2. So last week we talked about the word push. It's the Christian acronym for pray until something happens. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 today. So Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, we're going to come back to it later on in the scripture today. And by all means, by this point in time in your career at Crossroads Gospel Church, you should be very familiar with this scripture. But in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Are you rejoicing in the Lord all the time? It doesn't mean that just when good things happen, but it means at all times we need to be rejoicing in the Lord. He says, be anxious for nothing. Don't allow anything to turn you inside and out that you are worried to death about that. He says, be anxious for nothing, but instead take that everything by prayer and supplication, means humbly coming before the Lord with thanksgiving, and let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus. Now look at verse 7 today. Verse 7 says this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Have you ever prayed and maybe you didn't have an immediate answer, or you did not see an immediate answer, but you felt the immediate peace and the presence of God that God blessed you with, and you got up from that prayer knowing it was going to be okay? It was going to be okay. I felt the presence of God and His nearness and His dearness, and I felt that peace in my heart. There's no problem, no thing to worry about, because God is on the way. He is going to answer that need, and I'm just going to wait to see it. Not that is a that is the definition of push. The something that happened was the peace of God that surpassed all human understanding. Passes all human comprehension. I can't explain it. No, the unbeliever would never understand it, but God has got this, and it is going to be okay. So we go to part two today. Now we're going to start with Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. So this is push, part two, talking about prayer. So we go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it's a verse you're all very familiar with. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God, or she that comes to God, must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So let's break this down. Number one, without faith, you can't please God. Unless you're walking in faith, you cannot please God. Number two, you must believe, is what the scripture points out. And number three, that He is. That God is who He says He is. That God will do what He says He will do. And we can trust that, and we believe that today. And number four, He will reward those that hold God consistently in that position in their lives. That God is who He says He is. God will do what He says He will do. I'm walking in faith. I'm walking in belief. I know that God is going to reward me. How? Because I have now positioned myself to be blessed by God. Now, if we reread Hebrews 11, 6 again. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Do you believe that today, saints? Amen. Do you believe that to be true? Yes. Amen. So now listen to me. In Proverbs 23:7, it says, for as one thinks in their heart, so are they. Mm-hmm. Now listen to me. In Proverbs 23:7, it says, for as one thinks in their heart, so are they. So everyone in this room and everyone outside of this room, believer and unbeliever, they have a belief system. So does everyone in the world, the heart represents the throne of your life, the throne of your belief system. So what you believe is who you are. It is how you will respond. It is how you react from the throne of your life. If Jesus is sitting on the throne of your life, then you're going to walk in belief. You're going to walk in trust. You're going to walk in a way that you're not doubting the Word of God, but that you're believing the Word of God. And when you come to prayer to God, you believe that God is going to answer you. Amen. That He is going to meet that need in your life. But now if you take Jesus off the throne of your life and you put yourself there, you're going to walk in doubt, you're going to walk in fear, you're going to walk in anxiety. I need to get Leo off the throne of my life. I need to put Jesus on the throne of my life. I know that I will then walk in harmony with God. Amen. So now turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to follow up on that. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Matthew 12 and verse 33. I'll get there myself. Matthew 12, verse 33. This is what it says. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Blood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We go back to that throne. Who's on that throne? Who is there? Who's in the place? You going to put Joe Biden there? You going to put Trump on the throne of your life? You going to put the world on the throne of your life? No, I need to put Jesus on the throne of my life. So I am speaking words of truth, words of righteousness. So in this, he says, as a good man, in verse 35, as a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you are justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now verse 34 again. Verse 34 says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, what did we say in Hebrews 11:6? It says when we broke it down, without faith you can't please God, that you must believe that God is, and that He will reward those that consistently hold God in that position in their life. So without faith and without positive confession coming out of your mouth, can God answer our prayers? And the answer is no, He can't. He can't. Turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We're going to bring this together. So if you feel lost, we're coming back. We're going to come back and get you. James chapter 1, verse 6. In James chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, but let him ask in faith without no doubting. For he or she who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not the man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord if he is double-minded, a man unstable in his ways. Now let me read this from the NLT. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, because their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Yes, Satan cast doubt. We know that he is a master of doubt. But by and far, the largest percentage of doubt comes out of the heart of unbelief. If we don't believe it, if we don't profess that to be true, I'm not going to tell you that if it might not happen in your life. I'm telling you it will not happen, because you're not walking in faith. And you know what we're talking about today? You need to be walking in faith in your prayers. You need to be believing God, trusting God, and knowing that God is going to answer that need that is in your life. Why? Because it flies. It won't work because it flies in the face of God's word. It cannot happen. And he shares that with us in the book of James. Now, Romans 10, 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and how? By hearing, by the word of God. So the more you read the word, the more you hear the word, the more you profess the word, what is the outcome? Your faith will grow. We need to grow it to the point that when you look on the inside of us and look at the throne of our lives, I'm not there, the world is not there, all you see is Jesus that is in my heart and life. Because out of that place is where faith speaks. We need to get to the point that when we pray, we know, we believe, we profess. Help is on the way. Now, I want to say that again, because you're going to become a part of the sermon today. This is an interactive sermon. So say with me, help is on the way. Now, say it again. Help is on the way. So as we are going to look at some scriptures from them today, from them, I'm going to say this. Saints, what does the word say to us? And you will say, help is on the way. Are you ready? Are you ready? So let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Now in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So I say to you, saints, what does the word say to us? Help is on the way. That's what that scripture is saying. I no longer have to worry about this. I no longer have to walk in fear about this. You know what it says? I can start finally focusing on the things that are positive in my life, because the thing that is negative has already been taken care of. Hallelujah! Because help is on the way. Look what he says in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. These are the things I can focus on. I don't have to focus on that negative thing anymore, because I've already given it over to the Lord. We're not good at that, are we? We're not good at going to the altar, wherever the altar is in your house, whether it's driving down the road or it's at the couch or it's at the recliner. We're not very good at saying, Lord, I'm going to put this in your hands. I can't wrestle with it anymore. It's tearing me apart on the inside. I'm going to give it over to you right now in Jesus' name. And then walking away from it. We're not very good at that, are we? As soon as we get up, we have a tendency to pick it back up with us. But you don't have to pick it up back up with you when you know that help is on the way. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. So in Matthew chapter 7, go to verse 7. It's the Lord's Prayer. You're all very familiar with that. No, it's not. I'm not there yet. So Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him it knocks, it will be opened. Of what man is there among you, if his son or daughter asks for bread, that you would give him a stone? Or if they ask for a fish, would you give him a serpent? Meaning, would you give him something evil? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Saints, what does the word say? You forget so fast. Look at that. Read it again. I'm going to read it again. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Saints, what does the scripture say? Help is on the way. Amen. Now turn with me to Matthew 6. Now we'll go to the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6. You guys are so much fun. Verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And what does the scripture say, saints? Help is on the way. Heaven rules. You know, realize that? It doesn't matter what takes place on this earth. Earth does not rule. The leaders of this world does not rule. God rules, and he's in ruling power right now. So now I want to take you to a little longer story. I want you to go back to the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles. So I'm going to take you all the way back. This is a great story. 2 Chronicles, chapter 18. I'm almost done, so if you're getting tired of me, I'm almost done. 2 Chronicles, chapter 18. And I want you to go first to verse 31. So this is what it says in 2 Chronicles, chapter 18, verse 31. So it was when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, they said, it is the king of Israel. So I want this to get in your mind, that he is the king of Israel. And that's all I want to capture from that scripture. But I want you to know that he was the king of Israel at this point in time. That Jehoshaphat was a God-fearing man. He brought many things in place for the nation of Israel. Now go to chapter 20 and verse 3. In 20 and verse 3, it says this, and Jehoshaphat feared. All these armies were going to come against them. They were going to be annihilated. And the scripture very quickly points out to us that Jehoshaphat was afraid. He was afraid of what was going to happen to him. He was afraid what was going to happen to the nation of Israel. Now let me tell you, do you know that God's will, his power, and his authority is never affected by circumstances or by emotions? I want to say that again, because sometimes we are affected by that. God's power, God's will, God's power, God's authority is never affected by a circumstance, and it is never affected by our emotions. Yes, you can be honest with God, and you can share your fears with him. That's not a lack of faith. I have known people who think being honest about how they feel is not making a positive profession about their faith, to the point that people are sick, but they will never admit it. Are you not feeling well today? No, I'm just fine. Well, stay away from me because I don't want to catch what you don't have. Okay? Be honest with God where you're at. This is a beautiful illustration that Jehoshaphat was afraid. He was afraid what was going to happen. Now listen to me. You can add this with your children. You're afraid what your children are doing. You're afraid what your children are being involved in. You're afraid for your grandchildren. That is okay to be afraid, and we're going to see why and what Jehoshaphat did. So we'll just read a little bit farther. Go to 20 and verse 3. We said Jehoshaphat, he was afraid. But now for the good part, what does he do? What does he do? From that place of honesty, he begins to proclaim who God is. So look at chapter 20, verse 6. In chapter 20, verse 6, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Saints, is God not ruling in heaven today? So even though I have concerns about what's going on in this nation, I have concerns about politically what's going on in this nation, I do not have to walk in fear because I can say, God, are you not ruling in heaven today? And because you're ruling in heaven, you're ruling on earth as well. Do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nation? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes against us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in affliction, and you will hear and you will save. So see, I can be honest with God. God, I'm really afraid for this. Or God, I don't necessarily feel too well today, but I know you're on the way. I know that you're going to heal me. I know that you're going to touch me, because you're a God of healing. You're a God of restoration. I'm a child of the Most High God. Say that. I am a child of the Most High God. Now look what happens from that proclamation. So let's put it down to our own lives. I'm struggling with my kids. I'm struggling with my grandkids. I have fears for them. I submit them to the Lord. And even though I have fears for them, all of a sudden, God, I know who you are. You are the God that is on the throne. You are the God that is ruling in righteousness. And as I am a child of you today, I know that you're going to bless me. I know that you're going to minister to this need in Jesus' name. And then I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk in faith, and then I'm going to profess it. Amen. What he's doing. So look what happens. So we're still in chapter 20. Now there's a priest, a prophet that speaks. We won't read everything that there is, but go to verse 14. So chapter 20, verse 14. In verse 14, it says, and it talks about all these names, and it talks about Asaph in the midst of the assembly, verse 15, and he said, listen, listen to all of you of Judah and your inhabitants of Jerusalem, you, King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, it is God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up to the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jerusalem. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear, do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord your God is with you. Amen. Hallelujah. I can say that for myself today. You can say that for yourself. Saints, when you read this scripture, saints, what does the word of the Lord say to us today? Help is on the way. When I pray, I need to believe and I need to profess that help is on the way. Today, we proclaim God's goodness. We proclaim His grace. We proclaim His mercy, because no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm facing in life, I know that when I submit it to God in prayer, I know that help is on the way. Hallelujah! We, saints, need to start walking in victory. Stop walking in defeat. Stop walking that God is never going to answer. Start walking that God is going to answer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everyone that came down to be prayed for today, you need to walk away and say, yes, amen. Yes, amen. I felt the presence of God. I felt the peace of God. I don't know if it's actually happened yet, but I know it happened. I know it's going to come to fruition in my life because God touched me. Walk in that victory. Amen. Have you been blessed today?
Yes.
Maybe I'm the only one. I love God. I love Jesus. I love to proclaim His word. And no, I'm not going to jump off the platform, but I love you all so much today. Will you stand with me today? God, we love you. Oh, precious Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that we can bring anything. And Lord, as it was shared in Sunday school this morning, you got the eye on the sparrow. We know that you got your eye on us. And Father, we can come to you and know that when we pray, that we believe that help is on the way. We praise you forevermore. Bless my brothers and sisters as we leave this place. And help us to find somebody we can reach out to this week. Tell them that we love them, but Jesus loves them more. And we ask it all today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You are dismissed. Hallelujah.